to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
No. Let's bring Sean Cunningham into this conversation. Sean lives at that damn. First of all, Sean, welcome back to the show. I love when you're here. I honestly didn't even know if you were allowed to join us anymore, so I'm so thrilled that we got you here. What's up, man?
I'm thrilled to be – first of all, I'm sorry I don't have, like, a proper mic set up. I hope you can hear
perfect.
Me okay.
You're perfect. You're perfect.
The new office is still going under – I'm still getting adjusted. But, yes, I'm thrilled to be with you guys. It's been a long, long time. You guys look very well-rested for summertime, and I'm looking forward to joining y'all.
What did you think about what the Angels broadcaster say? You spent a lot of time at Sutter Health Park as this first baseball season in Sacramento was got underway. What did you think about what the Angels broadcaster said about the experience in Sacramento?
I mean, it's not. I mean, look, you're hearing it from almost every single broadcast crew and media member that come in. I mean, the first thing we know, media members love to gripe and they like to complain a lot. So, yeah, typically you see some people come in here and you just have to remind people it's the first year. They had less than a year to put everything together. And the fact that they're actually playing Major League Baseball games in a park that that is made for anything but Major League Baseball is remarkable. And I know people like to point out how bad that shed is, that Mark Kotze does his pre and post game, or at least his post game interview, does the pregame stuff from the locker room. But I remind people they did it from a broom closet in the Coliseum. I mean, they could only hold like 10 people in that room total. So this is a little bit of an upgrade. They've got some, you know, temperature control and you know, you'll hear a motorcycle run by or even the occasional police officer chasing down somebody down the street. But it's unique, man. It's minor league baseball. You got Major League Baseball in a minor league park and they're making the best of it. So, yeah, I mean, there's little things that have gone wrong and they've fixed and they've done, I think they've done a great job out there. And I'll be interested to see what it looks like 6 months from now, a year from now, even next season.
I always say with the whole situation, you can't escape that it's a minor league park. And I don't think anybody is trying to, like, yes, it's not a major league ballpark. It's a minor league park. That's, you can't get around that. But like you said, I think they've done a pretty good job with what the time that they had available. You brought up a good point that they're going to, with time, they may be able to get more additions in there. But that raises a question for me. It's something that I've heard in the first couple months. Do you think they'll get the second and third year? Do you think the Players Association is going to make a big gripe to get them out of Sacramento? Because it seems like that's all you ever hear in these first couple months of the season is the complaining and how we're going to have to revisit this in off season or something like that. You think they're going to be able to stay here in Sacramento for a couple more years?
I mean, I don't see why they can't. The players that I've spoken to, I mean, they made the best of it, primarily have been from obviously the athletic side, but even let's face it, teams are coming in here and they're raking. I mean, they're hitting the ball out of the ballpark. So if you're a hitter, you're going to love the playing in that ballpark. Pitchers might feel some sort of way about it, but at the end of the day, I mean, I think everyone realizes it's temporary. They're not the only, you know, the only team doing it. Obviously, we saw what's happened to Tampa and their ballpark. But, yeah, man, it's just one of these temporary things. Baseball has a little bit of a unique problem. I think the amenities in the clubhouse, for the most part, things that players go through in a day-in, day-out basis are fine. I mean, obviously, someone like Luis Severino has been very vocal about not necessarily complaining, but at least pointing out some of the shortcomings of not having a clubhouse attached to the dugout so that when guys are, you know, in between innings, they can go up there and potentially receive treatment or do whatever their routine is and not have to, you know, make what I like to call the walk of shame all the way through the outfield to the clubhouse and be detached from your teammates. So I recognize that. Certainly I get that, but I don't think it's so much of a problem as to totally uproot from Sacramento and go either because they're not going back to Oakland. I mean, let's face it. I mean, if John Fisher's not going to allow that to happen, so unless they're going to share a ballpark in San Francisco or something like that, I don't see a real solution there. So, and I also think it would be another black eye. I mean, how tortured can you truly just absolutely hammer these fans that have stuck with you? You have some fans that are excited that A's baseball is in Sacramento. It represents a moment for Sacramento to maybe be able to keep something. And you've got a $1 billion investor in Vivek Ranadive, who has a lot of very rich friends who are eager to invest. So it's an opportunity for Sacramento, that potential ownership group. You've got your fans who already have rationalize it somewhere or the other that baseball is in Sacramento. I think short of a playoff appearance or a World Series, that should be the only reason that baseball isn't played in Sacramento. So I don't see it getting to that point.
Vivek has a lot of rich friends like Damian, for sure.
You know, that's right.
So it could happen. It could happen.
I've seen that jewelry.
You see what I'm saying?
Don't feed into it.
Real quick on that. Did you see that home run from the dude on the Angels last night? That was a bomb. He hit it past the lawn.
Well, okay, so I was trying to I still think, and again, if you go and look up whatever Statcaster has in terms of official measurement, I still think the bomb that Tatis hit over the brand new clubhouse was the furthest ball I've seen in that ballpark. So that was wild.
Yeah.
Do you think the A's were playing a little bit over their head the first 42 games of the season?
I ask that question a lot. I mean, part of that had to do with Tyler Soderstrom, right? And he's kind of tapered off a little bit. And you've seen the likes of Jacob Wilson, who's certainly risen and been able to put up a league leading average up there with Aaron Judge at times. But yeah, I think maybe he kind of fell back down to earth a little bit. Lawrence Butler also, he's kind of trying to figure some things out. To me, it's never really been the hitting. Like, they put up runs. To me, it's just been what this pitching staff can do and what the bullpen can do. And I think when you go in through, when you add some moments of concern, like you've seen from the plate lately with a few guys, and you couple that with a shaky bullpen that's been really worked because, you know, some of these starting pitchers haven't been able to go really deep into games. I think it's just a bad recipe for them. And let's not forget, like, not making an excuse for the A's, they've had some really tough opposition. I mean, that homestand that began with the Mariners, and you go to the Yankees, and you go to the Giants, or excuse me, on the road to the Dodgers, then the Giants. I mean, you're talking about the upper echelon of baseball, so you're hoping to get a couple, you know, teams that you can kind of relax and breathe. But I think they're, from their lineup guys, they're just relying on a lot of first-year players, a lot of rookies on this team.
Yeah. You talked about the schedule, and I thought – after watching them for a little while, if they're playing teams that are kind of on their level or below, I think they can handle them. They're fine. But the upper echelons, like you mentioned, the Yankees, Dodgers, Giants, that the Mariners, that whole stretch, that's just a little too much for those guys at this particular time to be able to compete.
To that point, I mean, the Angels, you're hoping, like, you know, you're thinking, okay, yeah, you can let up a little bit, and they come in winning, what, five straight? Four or five straight before they even step foot into Sutter Health Park. So even a team like that, who's missing Mike Trout, their best player, comes in on a surge. So yeah, they just have to hopefully catch an opponent here and just get everything collectively going at once. Where, you know, if you can get a guy that goes in there through six innings, get into the seventh inning. I mean, that bullpen is the thing in my mind that's just overworked right now.
Feels like Sacramento was buzzing with sports right now. Obviously, we've had our Kings for many years. We've got professional baseball here, but man, Sac State is cooking. I know you were there yesterday looking at the well. You know, a guy who you covered for so many years, Mike Bibby, is back. Shaq's name is attached to this. Sean Marion is doing incredible things with the football program. Man, what do you expect from Sac State, you know, this year with this incredible collection of guys who are working to really build this university into a massive sports program?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful. I'm cautiously optimistic, because I say cautiously because, I mean, guys, we've talked about it for forever. I mean, decades of how awful Sac State is, their facilities, and how they it's a problem. You can't bring in top-tier people. Now you add NIL on top of that, which in my mind's kind of given them a little bit of an edge because they can go out there and pay some top-tier talent to come to Sacramento. Brendan Marion has done a huge job in that. And most people would say he's won the offseason for a little school like Sacramento, for Sacramento State. And look, I'm cautiously optimistic because I think there's a lot of work that has to be done. I want them to keep that same energy. And it's funny because we go from an area where, you know, you identify for so long that things are so bad. Then you get a president like Luke Wood in there with a drive of somebody like Mark Orr, their athletics director, and some big names now, Brendan Marion, Mike Bibby, Shaquille O'Neal, even though that's, you know, let's be honest, that's a, I'll come and watch my kid play.
Heavy Kings owner vibes with that one.
Yeah. You'll see him. Certainly, I think it coincides well with DJ Diesel having a couple appearances in the capital city during leading up to basketball season. But look, however he's involved, I mean, it's putting a spotlight on them. So, I mean, we all agree the well, while it's nice, and yeah, you're tripling the seat capacity of from 1,000 to 3,200 to go into the well. It's still not a perfect world situation. It's very temporary. I call it maybe a step above a Band-Aid on a broken bone because you still need an arena. And these are just, you know, baby steps. They're big baby steps, though, to be able to get where they want to go. And, you know, look, baseball has had a tremendous year, too. I was talking to Mike Bibby last night, and he's talking about, you know, how the recruitment class has gone, and he's hit the ground running, and now he's in search of a big. And think like there's so much positive momentum for this program. So yeah, I love it. I'm hoping that some of the big dreams that they have to be able to compete in a different conference, to be able to go, you know, higher opposition and be able to compete with some of the big boys. That all sounds well and good, but I kind of have to see it before I get. I'm very cautiously optimistic. I have to see it first. But to go from where we were to where we are now, it feels like.
He's getting a call. I bet you $10 Sean's getting a call right now. And now he's frustrated. He's like panicked a little bit, and he's trying to decline it. Like this, he's Sean. I feel like Sean's going to pop back up any second. See, I told you. You got a call, didn't you? Now he said. Now he just said that. Now he just says, "I'm sick of this crap." Sorry, Sean. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, for the decades that we've had to where we are now, it feels like all of a sudden things are spiraling very, very fast. Mm-hmm. And that's where I get optimistic, encouraged about the future could hold for this program.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. I'm just going to ask him real quick. You went to the well, and they had some media members and everything. A floor is not down. The seats weren't out and all this other stuff. Like, being in there, can you see the vision? They said it's going to hold 3,200, which is it's not – 12, but if you look at the Big West and somewhere like St. Mary's, I think St. Mary's is like 3,500 or something like that. We see that on TV all the time. I could Sac State, that's cool for Sac State. Could you see the vision while being in there, even though things weren't all the way ready to go?
100%, yeah, because even though it's all going to be a lot of retractable seating, and that seating leads way for three courts there. So when there's no games, the idea would still be that, hey, this is a recreational gym for our students to still utilize. But your main game court, yeah, you bring the seating out, and you've got courtside seats, and you're going to have some suites and things like that up on the table. Because for people who don't know, there's a track that goes around the top of the pavilion, as I like to call it. I can't call it an arena, guys, because it's better than a gym, and it's not quite an. I'll just call it a facility or a venue, if you will. But yeah, I mean, you can certainly see it. There's obviously some things that have circulated online where you can see what the diagrams are supposed to look like. But being in that big space, absolutely, you can absolutely picture what basketball will be like there. They have some, you know, the ribbon LED video boards. They've got two big scoreboards that are going to be in each end zone. So if nobody has ever been to the well, it's in the north end zone of the of where the football stadium is. So if you look at that big building, that's where it'll be, and they literally like cut it in half, so it still has a lot of recreational use for students at the well. But this renovation opens up a 3,200 seat stadium, and they're talking about really having seating similar to like Cameron, where and me as a Duke fan gets excited about that, because those students are right on top of you. So I think that's a unique something unique. They want to cram a lot of people in there. Mike Bibby even told Mark Orr, he's like, we're going to need more seats. So at 3,200 being a sellout, if Mike Bibby, which would be incredible because we all know what the Nest is like in that place. They should blow that up. I know they're going to use that for practices. I if I never step foot in the Nest again, I'll be happy with that because that place is awful. But a sellout there was 1,000. So 3,200, if you're tripling that and you can sell that out, all power, more power to you. But it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait for it.
Sean, you mentioned spiraling a few minutes ago, and well, that made me think of the Kings.
Well, it happens that way. Yeah.
You have covered a lot of bad basketball is your time with 1140, the various TV stations, now KCRA. Are we walking back down that path again?
That's a tough question. I think it's in the eye of the beholder, man, because while I am critical of maybe the direction they are choosing to go, I respect the fact they don't want to do a hard reset because I do kind of agree. I don't think the majority of the fan base would stomach a hard reset. Mm-hmm. So for those that say, yeah, that's what you should do. You should rebuild that way and totally do it, quote unquote, the right way. I think a lot of people who say that are not people who go out and buy tickets and actually support this team. So it's easier to say that. And that being said, like a lot of the pieces that are on this team. But I do have concerns about building around this core of players. I think Scott Perry gets to come in here and obviously there'll be a little bit of a grace period. He probably wouldn't call it that, but being able to come in here, look at this team, knowing you've got a cupboard full of assets, that's got to be exciting. Whether or not he should use them or not remains to be seen. But I keep looking at guys. I keep looking at 2027 because it seems like outside of maybe whatever extension they come up with Keegan Murray, should they not trade him, or, you know, Keon Ellis coming up here pretty soon, most of these contracts, there's like a cliff right there at 2027. So whether you want to or not, maybe 2027, if it doesn't work out, ends up happening naturally at that point to where it is more of a full reset. And I can already hear people say, well, then why not do it now? Why wait till then? You've shown, the Kings have shown an ability to pay big contracts, and they're not choosing to necessarily be cheap about it. I know some people say, well, you're not going in the luxury tax. It doesn't show that you're fully committed. But to me, like, look at how many people go into luxury, these teams that go into luxury.
Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco, 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 taco. This deal legit. Taco, taco, taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99.
Tax and totally discombobulate their franchise. Like, it's one thing to do it, but it's another thing, should you do it based off what you have? And I'd argue since the Kings have been in this era, the Monty McNair era to now, I would say no. There wouldn't be a single thought in my mind that they should have gone into luxury tax because they weren't that good to begin with. So yeah, right. You have some pieces that you like. You have some pieces that hopefully can give you a competitive product, sustained playoff success. That's all well and good, but this offseason, and I know we say it every offseason, and I always kind of roll my eyes, people will say how important an offseason is. This one to me is a nice foundation one. It kind of sets something going forward, an expectation going forward. Doug needs pieces. Doug needs support. Doug needs all this. You've tied your wagon to Doug Christie being your head coach. So this is a team that is not going to be all that young. They're going to have a lot of veteran pieces. So how do you find those pieces that you need? And I think, you know, it begins with a point guard, obviously a starting level point guard. There's not a lot of teams out there that are good and don't have a point guard. So that concerns me greatly. And I think they need to be very, very aggressive, and they don't have to blow their entire assets to go find these pieces this off season. But certainly I think they need to be very, very aggressive.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And when you talk about the not tanking, not doing a hard reset, and I'm with you. I think, you know, Kings fans, they'll be tapped in. Like, they're not going to just ignore the team while they're playing like the Utah Jazz or something like that. But I also look, it's not my money, it's not our money, but Vivek and whoever else ownership is, we're just going to tell them, like, no, it's okay for you to lose money. Like, we want you to lose money, and you should want to lose money yourself so you can do this thing that might work. Like, it might not even work. But if you're if they got a promise from season ticket holders or future season ticket holders that, no, we'll still buy at the same rate that we do right now if you do a hard reset, maybe they do it. But I don't think that's realistic. Like, yeah, they're trying to make some money too. And that's the other aspect of this that people don't talk about, that when they talk about a hard reset.
100%. And look, I know, you know, people typically outside the market, they say, oh, the best way to build a winner is to, and everyone will point to Oklahoma City, and they're not wrong, but Oklahoma City could afford to do it. They're the only game in town. You know, Oklahoma City could afford to do it because they chose to do it. I mean, the Kings have done it really twice since making the playoffs, the last time they made the playoffs, in my opinion. And some would argue that they didn't do it hard enough. I would. I don't think, you know, I think people can define reset differently, but having pieces to build around, having a core to build around is special. And when you're as deprived of postseason success as Sacramento is, I mean, we saw what first round, we saw what the play-in tournament looked like. People are thirsty for stuff like that. So when half the league's teams make the playoffs, the door for success is wide open. So yeah, man, go out there and do it. Go out there and do it.
You know, I have to point it out. Oklahoma City had Russell Westbrook and Paul George to trade. They had the Paul George hostage 100%. Situation with Los Angeles, and that really, one, it landed them the MVP, mm-hmm. and it landed them a great deal of all of these picks that they have. Sean, Kendrick and SZA are in L.A. this Ooh. Weekend. Bottle Rock is this weekend. You're at one of them. Which one is it?
I will be at Bottle Rock. I will never, I don't care what the lineup is ever. I will always be at Bottle Rock all 3 days. That's my personal retreat, if you will. It's probably the biggest vacation that I allow myself to have. I find time for concerts, as you guys know, but Bottle Rock is my favorite. And I will be there all 3 days.
I feel like you go to concerts and you find time for everything else.
Yeah, that's that might, I mean, the past year may have been a little different that way, but okay. You're right. I mean, that's really the way I try to do things. That's my rest and relaxation, is going out there and being in among 10,000 people and being in a mm-hmm. in the as close as I can get to a stage at a music festival. So yeah. Music festival, that's my favorite one, because Bruno Mars called it Bougie Coachella. It's not dirty camping and stuff like that. I don't do that. So yeah. I can sleep in my bed every single night the way I do it. And looking forward to, I need to find a way to get to Kendrick and SZA though.
Meet me in Vegas, buddy. It's not that hard to get. They're starting to sell a lot quicker. Vegas is one of the slower selling cities. And if you get on it quick enough, you can get, you know, a good seat at like a, you know, not that Ticketmaster prices are good, but looking at the resales at Oracle Park, it was like, yeah, I can't do this one, so I'll just make the trip to Vegas and make a weekend out of it. But I figured the answer was Bottle Rock. I know that that's your spot, which leads me to believe you're going to be talking to Ice Cube at some point in the next couple of days.
I would hope so. I wish my connections with Cube were a little bit better, because while he is on the stage at the same time as Justin Timberlake, and a lot of my friends who haven't seen Justin Timberlake are excited for that, I'm going to try to sneak away, because I've seen JT a lot, including as early as this year.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to get over to Cube, who I've also seen a lot, but I wish my connections were better so I could, you know, stand right on stage off to the side, and show my appreciation.
That's the D-Lo spot.
Okay, settle down. That's twice. Knock it off. Sean, we appreciate you, man. We don't talk nearly enough on this show, but it's great to catch up with you. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, man, let's change that. Appreciate it. Yeah, sure.
Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big cube. This deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco to go. Taco to. This deal legit. Taco to go. Taco to.
only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go, $2.99. Taco to go.